Welcome to another Acoustic Alternatives in Grove Studios, the home of my podcast since the fall of 2020. As you've heard me mention before, they invited me to do a podcast in the pandemic. I was a little hesitant, and then I did an interview with my friend Chris DuPont, and I realized how much I missed doing interviews at the radio station I used to work at. So I kept doing them until I had a duo from West Virginia come through and say, "That was a great interview. We had a great time." It was my first podcast with somebody that wasn't in the Michigan music scene, and it made me go, I guess I need to keep doing this. So over the course of time, there have been 70 some of these, and our guest today has actually been a previous guest, and I try not to repeat guests, but we did a very unique situation when Joe Serapier was here. Yes. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you, John.
This was a benefit for a radio station in Dearborn, WHFR, that we had recorded and turned into a partial, like the first half of the show is going to be a podcast recording. Second half of the show is going to be a performance, and it was a benefit for the station. So I thank you in retrospect again for doing that. That was April 7th, 2022.
Yes.
I looked it up.
Yes.
And
that
then...
That was. And Dearborn is my hometown, so...
Are you still living in Dearborn? I knew you were raised there.
I'm still living there at present, although we're in the process of trying to move to the east side of Detroit. So rehabbing a house.
Very good. Well, the reason I've decided to invite you back as a guest a second time, and it usually takes something special, and it is something special.
Because I'm cute?
Because you're cute, but you also have basically two records that used to be a double record at some point. We'll talk about
right.
that later. Coming out, looks like there's a couple of release shows and then another one. April 26th, Ghost Light in Hamtramck. May 11th, Trinity House Theater in Livonia. Mm-hmm. And then the one that was originally scheduled and then moved in November, now at the Arc.
At the Arc, and that's not until November. And hopefully there will be a few in between.
Well, I'm sure you can't not be performing somewhere.
Yes.
So the records are coming out in April, right?
April, end of April.
Very good. Mm-hmm. That's going to be, by the time this is ready to be heard by people, I think, or seen, I should say. The heard part probably will already have happened in the month of March. The records are called The Beautiful Ones, Volume 1 and 2, and you have a guitar in your lap.
I do.
There's a reason.
Should I play it?
I think you should.
Okay. Well, okay, so the record has, there's a lot of band tunes on it, you know, and so I was just going to kind of focus more on some of the, you know, the quieter tunes. So this is called In the Arms of Angels. And it's not the Sarah McLachlan version of that at all. Times feel like hours of pain and of toil, using each soul and poisoning the soil and spilling the blood and enjoying the spoils as we're left in the arms of angels. I try to remain a light toward the way. Now losing my ground, I've something to say. But judgment does not leave me holy this day. So I'm left in the arms of angels. Each moment I look closer to see the beauty and mercy all around me. I search for communion and love in your eyes. With wonder I see past the lows and the highs. Pathos and laughter and irony defies, and we're left in the arms of angels. Each moment I look closer to see
the beauty and mercy all around me. I'm frightened and tired, but willing to know we're all so fragile, but brilliantly so. Our hearts broken open the moment we go. We'll be left in the arms of angels.
Beautiful. My guest today on Acoustic Alternatives is Joe Serapier, a track that you will find on the forthcoming release, The Beautiful Ones, Volume 1 or 2. I don't know which volume.
That one's in Volume 1. It's the last song on Volume 1. So, because the record is set up, let me explain. The record is set up as it's sort of, I'm at that age where, you know, everybody sort of writes their autobiography.
Sure.
You know.
You write what you know.
You write what you know, right. Because most of my records, there were characters and, you know, it wasn't necessarily so personal. So this whole record is just sort of my autobiography. I know it is. I don't, you know, it's music. It's not.
Text,
yes. So, you know, and so it's kind of about my early life that was very hard for me, and then coming through that and finding voice and, you know, all that healing and all that. So that's the last song of the first record. The first record's a little bit more about the struggle, and then the second half is about the
healing.
The healing and the fun and the playing music and all that stuff. So, yeah.
As a therapist, this record sounds like your therapy.
It is, yes, very much. I think the creative process is therapeutic. I mean, that's, you know.
In my lifetime, I have written poems that were songs. I don't play any music, so they're just poems, but they were therapy. They were a way for help to help me get out my feelings on
Absolutely.
In some way, shape, or form. And since I loved music so much, again, don't have the talent to play guitar, anything.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. We can talk about that later.
Did you try?
I took a guitar lesson, yes.
Just one guitar?
See this left hand?
Yeah.
I can do this with my left hand, which you cannot do because I was born with 6 fingers on this hand, which has this extra little bone/muscle here.
Oh.
And I can do that, but I also couldn't spread my finger out any farther than that to try and play the first chord I was being taught.
Oh,
and so yeah. I gave up. So, yeah.
Yeah, but look at, I have teeny tiny little hands.
I know.
And I can do it.
I think at some point, if I find any spare time, and there has been very little lately, mandolin, shorter neck, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that. I have an ukulele too. But anyway, this isn't about me.
Yes, okay. I'm
talking
sorry.
About you.
I'm sorry, it's my job.
I know.
You know,
it
my
is.
Other job.
We can do that another time in a different office. So, again, well, the trick to doing a second interview in a podcast, because generally in the first podcast, I try to dig deep. We didn't have a ton of time to do that. Try not to repeat yourself. So if you want to find out some of the things we talked about, go look up the other one that happened in 2022. We did talk about that, you know, you were still living in Dearborn where you grew up. We also learned that you were a shy nerd. You turned a goth girl somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if I was a nerd. I was just...
A good student.
I was a very good student. I was a good girl.
Well, I mean... A good student is often referred
Although
to.
Although I hung out with stoners.
Oh, well, then you're not a nerd. My bad.
I wasn't a stoner.
No, but you hung
but
out.
But they were the neighborhood kids.
They accepted
my friends.
You.
Yeah, you know.
The goth
girl. I did my share.
Yes.
But, you know.
The goth girl came out at some point.
The goth girl,
And
yes.
then she found her way to Americana.
And if you notice, music. I'm still entirely in black. So,
hello.
Yeah.
I've got
you
a logo on
You can take
my...
the girl out of the goth scene, but.
Yes. We also learned during our previous interview that you had thought about maybe someday, whether it was just a fun idea or something you actually seriously thought about, doing a goth tribute to Patsy Cline. Is that a real thing?
It was. Like when I was a goth girl, I wanted to do a goth version of Patsy Cline at the time because I still love Patsy.
I can't imagine what that would sound like. I'm trying to think, like Al Jorgensen singing, you know, something for Patsy.
I don't know. It's a lot of reverb.
Yeah.
A whole lot of reverb. Yeah.
That would be an interesting concept to approach at some point. We also learned during that interview that, whether this is still true or not, the only regret in life was quitting Uncle Earl and thereby missing your chance to meet John Paul Jones.
Yes.
Is that still
that
the only?
That is still my only regret in life.
That's a pretty, I mean, that's not a bad regret. That's real.
Yeah.
I get it. I mean, he was in Led Zeppelin, and there's that whole thing of not getting a chance to spend time with him.
Yes, and like I said before, that, you know, I was the Zepp head in that band.
Yeah.
And I was the one who should have met him, because I'm still a bit of a Zepp head.
But. Yes. One of the songs, and you, I don't mind if you do it again today at some point, but one of the songs you did back then in 2022 is one of the songs from the forthcoming album, Life and All, you had done with Michelle.
Yes.
Michelle Hall joined you on that. So there was a preview of what we're doing today 2 years ago. So this has been a long process for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some of the songs I wrote years ago, too. So they just didn't fit on records because they were more personal, and I was doing like a, you know, alt country record.
Sure. Was
it? You know what I mean? I didn't go with the record. So I have a number of those, too, that are on there, as well as new ones.
What is the oldest song on the record?
I think the oldest song on the record is a song called So Blue Am I, which I wrote just right when I was, it started playing guitar. So it was right out of grad school, when I was in grad school.
Like 5 years ago?
Yeah, 5 years
ago. Just trying to take some time off you there. It is in your bio, and it's a pretty cool thing that most of my musical friends don't have on their bio, but the Prairie Home Companion thing. How did that actually come about?
I have no idea.
You don't?
Actually, no.
They reached out to you and said, we'd love to have you on the show?
Yeah, they said they were coming to Ann Arbor, and at the time, I guess I was playing a lot in Ann Arbor. And I guess they asked somebody, maybe, I think it was, they asked the Folk Alliance.
Oh.
And at the time, I had recently performed at the International Folk Alliance Conference, and I think they said, hey, we're coming to Ann Arbor, do you know, who do you recommend? And so that's how I got it. And then I got it on an email, which I rarely checked. Thank God I checked. And then they said, well, Garrison wants you to write a song about Ann Arbor. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I sweated for like 6 months. I was like, ah. So.
And you did it anyway.
And I did, yeah.
It's a song you still, I don't need you to do it today, but you've done it.
I've done
it. And still
it,
do
yes.
it. And it's a song that obviously is important, because you, if it wasn't, you wouldn't continue to do it.
Yeah. Well, I try to play it when I'm in Ann Arbor, obviously, you know.
Great.
I still want it to be the theme song for the city, you know.
It should be.
I'm waiting.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Let's get in touch with the mayor. See if he can get some sort of decree for you to have that placed as the official song of Ann Arbor, Ann Arbor Days.
Yeah, come on.
All right, so the new records are coming out. They originally were a double album. Why did we decide to separate them?
Well, because nobody is buying CDs anymore.
Well,
you know,
I am, but
well, I know
single-handedly.
Music heads do, but. You know, most people don't. And I was like, well, I don't want people to like, oh, I got to shell out all this money for all this. You know, I just thought it would be easier to break it in half and make it. I mean, it's volume one and two. So, you know, they go together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you don't have to purchase them together, you know.
You don't think that your fans are dedicated enough that they just want whatever you do?
Because well,
I do.
Might.
I think they will.
Well, I hope so.
Like, I mean,
if you buy them together, there's like $5 off.
Oh,
we'll
see. Can't imagine anybody only buying one of them. That's my head process is like, I've been a fan of yours for X number of years. I'm good. Oh, I just want the first one. Why?
Well, the first one's a little more low key, and the second one's a little bit more fun. So,
well,
you know.
Okay. Well, then they are stylistically slightly different.
Slightly different, but not entirely.
I did notice you sent me a few songs for preview before our conversation, and let's admit to everyone right now, we set this up like 2 days ago. So I didn't have a lot of time to prep. I've been very busy in the last 2 days, so I'm doing my finest to come up with questions that make sense for what we're doing here today. So that's my honesty right there in front of you. But the songs that you sent me, there is definitely more of a rock lean than I'm used to, which is great. I mean, it's nice to hear you doing something different,
mm-hmm.
but similar to what you just did a moment ago, there is the stuff that we're somewhat familiar with you doing. Really, you don't have one category that you fit in anyway.
No, I don't. And that's been a problem, I've been told. People in the business have told me, you know, you got to stick with one style. And then they said, and then once you get famous, you can mix it up and be like Sting or something. And I was like, well, that's presumptive, you know.
Yes. Not everybody gets to that level.
Yeah. And I, you know, this is my process. I got songs and they come out and that's that's what I'm into, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's decidedly more rock and roll, at least on most of the tracks.
The second record is more. Well, the first one's a little bit too, but...
Is there a style of music that you haven't yet tried to record? Because you have done many different styles.
I was going to say polka, but no, we did on the last record, there was kind of a polka, but...
Have you ventured into jazz?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, not like modern jazz. I'm not really a fan, but definitely like, you know, like swingy and sultry. Yes, absolutely. I've
straight ahead pop. Have you tried that?
Straight ahead.
I mean, like
pop.
What would be considered, you know, popular?
Like currently?
Yeah, something.
Hell no.
Yeah, I don't. I can't see you doing that either.
I can't stomach it. I was the other day. I was at the gym, and they just had like the pop station or whatever, and every song was just relentless and they sounded alike, and it's just like, this is horrible. Like,
some of it I like, but not as
yeah,
long,
I mean, yeah. Every once in a while something comes out. Like I like Billie Eilish. I think that she's great, and Lizzo I think was great, you know. I mean, I like certain things.
It's hard for me to imagine you venturing into that territory with your style, but you know,
I mean I like I said, I could, in some of the more interesting, I mean, there is some interesting pop out there, but the real, like the Taylor Swift. Well, Taylor Swift isn't even the worst, but
she writes her own songs and has been very successful.
Yes.
Admire what she's done.
I totally admire her. That's not it. But I just, and yeah, she's not a good example. I don't know. I just I don't even know the names.
That's all right.
Troy Sivan. Yeah. I don't know.
we'll stick with what we know. And if we had to put you in one category, which people often want to do, I think the easiest one is Americana, because
it
covers the whole broad spectrum of...
I was called the United States of Americana once.
Oh, so I like that.
Yeah.
Is that on your website?
Probably not.
You don't like it.
Oh, no, I like it.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we did discuss a little bit some of the topics that the record covers. It's the things you went through in your youth that deeply personal and affected you. I can't talk again today. And then you said the second half is more fun stuff.
I don't want to sound esoteric but more just sort of like moving toward like a feeling of enlightenment, although I'm far from that. I'm not saying I'm enlightened.
Sure.
But, you know, kind of having a spiritual awakening and feeling connected and to the world and, you know, having a deep sense of purpose and, you know, all that stuff.
I did see some of the notes that you sent me about the songs, and there was some mention of like the political things you almost can't ignore in the songwriting field that you're in.
Yes.
I mean, I think it is the job of a folk singer to do that, right? So does that territory feel dangerous to you at all? Do you feel like you're going to isolate any?
Oh, no. No, anybody that likes me knows that I'm a pinko commie. No, I'm not. But yeah, no, I'm not afraid of that. I just don't. The thing that I don't like is I don't like being preachy. Like, you know, or I like it. I could probably be more preachy now, but when I started out, I was always really open about my political feelings, but I just don't like to be preachy.
Nor do I.
Yeah.
I try to avoid offending anybody, I guess. Not really that's so much offending. It's just like, I don't want you to dislike me because I don't have the same opinion as you, because we can still get along. That's essentially how I approach it.
Yeah, me too. I kind of feel like people's beliefs are sort of about how they added up the pieces in their mind and came out with a conclusion, you know, and everybody's pieces are a bit different. You know, I don't know if I was raised in rural wherever, Arkansas, if I would be a Trump supporter. I hope not. But, you know, I don't know, you know, so, you know, I just think that, yeah, I mean, I kind of work more from like my feeling of somebody's personal energy, and if they're caring and heart-centered, I can feel that, you know, and then I kind of work from there and like how they added up things. I mean, I may not like it and I might point that out even if they say something offensive, but I really just kind of care more about where their heart is.
That makes sense.
You know?
Yeah. And My guest today on Acoustic Alternatives at Grove Studios in Ypsilanti is Joe Serapier. Two new records coming out, The Beautiful Ones, Volume 1 and 2. Thanks to Grove Studios again for providing a home for me to do this podcast. I know it looks a little different the last couple. It is a different room. We're in the biggest room in the building. If you're a musician in the Ann Arbor, Detroit area, or a traveling musician playing somewhere nearby and you need a place to practice, I just gave Joe a tour.
It's cool.
It's cool. Lots of different rooms.
There's a great little place.
There's a drum set right over there. There's a keyboard over here. The other rooms have drum sets. I mean, you can come in and just, you know, 2 a.m, you want to practice, come on in. You got to pay, but I mean, you know, it's an opportunity.
It's a good business model.
It is. You know? It's a really cool place. So I'm grateful for them to allow me to do the podcast here. And I'm grateful to Joe for giving me a preview of some of these songs from the next record. What one would you like to do next?
Well, I thought I would do one that is actually a full band tune, but I will play it, you know, down and acoustically here. And it is about... called This American Dream. So, you know, I like to say that, you know, I really love my country. You know, I love being an American and I love America. I just also love everybody else's country too, you know, and I don't always like just sort of our level of capitalism, and it just, you know, I like to say it keeps me, I have great job security as a psychologist because this culture makes people crazy. So here we go.
Supersized, but so much clutter from bargain buys just brings me down. Close your eyes, maybe look at the skies for a sign. High, high, high. Legalized, but all the crashing from the highs just brings me down. Move away from this world around me. Is life more than it seems? There is something that I'm truly after. Losing this American dream. Terrorized, but all the fear that's on the rise just brings me down. Traumatized, but keep replaying my demise, it just brings me down. Close your eyes, baby, look deep inside for what's mine. Analyze, but all the pills and all the cries just brings me down. Move away from this world around me. Life is more than it seems. Finding something that I'm truly after. Now I know I'm losing this American dream. in their selling, their buying, in my losing, I am finding deeper love that is binding my quiet mind. Come so criticized, but the divisiveness and lies just bring me down. So victimized, but self-righteousness just tries to bring me down. Close your eyes, take a look. Ties that bind us. So let's mobilize and fight the fear that simplifies and brings us down. Move away from this world around me. Life is more than it seems. Changing something that I'm truly after. Now I know I'm losing this American dream. This American dream. This American dream. This American dream.
Track called This American Dream from the forthcoming release. I guess it depends on when you're listening to this. The Beautiful Ones, Volume 1 and 2. Joe Serapier is my guest today on Acoustic Alternatives. I mean, I suppose if they're listening to this in May, by then, it's not forthcoming anymore, is it?
No, it's not.
At this point, I wonder, listening to you play that song Acoustic that you said is going to be on the more electric collection of songs, mm-hmm. How do you decide which songs? Because I'm sure you wrote it like that, right?
Yeah, I wrote it like that, but...
How do you know which ones are going to be electric, which ones are going to be acoustic?
I don't know. You just feel it, you know. Like a lot of the, I don't know, a lot of the songs, like it goes with the feeling. Like this song is, I don't know, it just felt like a Bantu. I could hear it, you know. That's about as close as I get to poppy.
Okay.
I mean, which is not very poppy.
No, I mean it's, it's poppy.
But yeah.
It's a relevant topic.
And yes, it's a relevant topic. Yeah, it's about finding happiness in a world that tells you all these things will make you happy and they won't, you know?
Well, I know you said you kind of took the first half of the record from your personal experience, and people who know that you're a therapist by day. Did you give any thought that what you've written to help yourself might help others?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of... Yeah, when I first started playing music, it was more just to help me because I was so depressed and I didn't know what to do. I was graduating from college and I just...
Who wants to be an adult?
Yeah, it was the worst, yeah. I tell my young clients that all the time. I'm like, not to make them feel bad, but when they're struggling, I'm like, it's really hard and you could not pay me to be in my 20s again. It sucked. I mean, it was exciting, but it really sucked too. So, especially with this record, I kind of really wanted to bring my two worlds together. Over the pandemic, I was, I formed a Western swing-ish band, just based on the musicians we were playing with. So I wrote all these songs in that style and stuff. And that's just fun. There's nothing terribly deep. It's just go out and have a good time.
Yeah.
But I really feel like I want to bring my two worlds together. more and kind of more promote, you know, healing and sounds like a Hallmark card, but love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, love.
As I get older.
Like,
I mean,
real love, not not romantic love.
Yes, the love that we should have for each other no matter what.
Yes.
And not bomb each other and whatever else we're doing to each other right now.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
As a younger person, I didn't necessarily find myself drawn to lyrics as I do as an older person. Mm-hmm. And now what I'm discovering is that songs are my way to know that I'm not the only one who's ever been through this.
Yes, yeah.
So, like, you're writing about your experiences. Someone's going to hear that and go, oh, she went through that too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my observation. Like, songs are important. They're necessary. And they're healing for maybe not just you. It could be a whole bunch of people that are affected by.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, because why else am I doing this? You know, like, I when I was younger and I think the longest I ever went on tour was like a month. Because mm-hmm. I've always done them together. I've always been a therapist and a musician at the same time.
Got to find time to squeeze it in.
Man. Yeah. And most people don't want their therapist to take off, you know. So I couldn't leave for long periods of time. But
call you from my car.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, now you can.
Yeah, now you
but
can.
Back then you could not. And so, and I just felt like, oh my God, it was like, I don't have the best ego in the world. I mean, you know, who does? But it was just like every day it was like, look at me, like me, come and see me. I just hated that. Like, so then if you're not going to do that, then why play music outside of your bedroom, you know?
Yeah.
Well, to try to help, you know, try to bring people together.
That actually leads me to one of my questions, because in the last year or so, you were doing a lot of things. You were doing like a covers a day thing, a regular covers. You did mm-hmm. Santo and Johnny, Black Sabbath, Neil Young, Patsy Cline, Leonard Cohen, mm-hmm. Billy Joe Royal via Deep Purple, as written by Joe South. I mean, there's a variety of sounds there that,
yes.
that like I couldn't pinpoint what was she going to do next. And I'm not sure quite why you started that. Like, I'm glad you did, but what was the impetus? Was there like a...
Well, because I wasn't playing out as much,
no.
and I was enjoying listening to some other covers and playing with other people. And, mm-hmm. And I just like, oh, I want to learn more other, you know, songs that I like that I can do that are fun.
It was fun for us too. I was just curious, like, did you just, you challenged yourself for why? Just because you wanted to learn songs?
Because I wanted to learn songs, yeah.
More things you might be able to play out.
Right. And I also wanted, you know, my birds to be on camera. And
yeah, there was that. How did you do it without disturbing your family? Did you find like times that they were at home or wait till they went to sleep?
I just told them to shut up. No, I'm kidding. I told them, hey, mom's recording. Can you be quiet?
No blaring your Billie Eilish.
Yeah, right. No, my kid, they're really into like computer music, like, kind of stuff.
There's a show on WHFR for that.
For computer games and computer,
it's
all that.
The jump button. If it's still on, I'm pretty sure it is.
But oh.
Yes.
I'll let them know.
Yes. Check the schedule. The jump button. It's a video game and soundtracks, stuff like that. So there you go. Anybody who knows you knows that you're a Tom Waits fan. He's a
huge,
big part of
you. And he's not really on this record at all. I have a whole nother record ready to be recorded.
Okay.
That's much more Tom Waitsy, but I wanted to get this out. And then, so I kept Tom Waits off of this record.
Well, there's two questions. Does he know you exist?
No.
And will there be a Tom Waits covers record at some point in your career? I don't know why you haven't done it yet.
I know. I don't either. Probably. Maybe.
I think it was Dual Tone Records a couple of years ago put one out, all female versions. Women cover Waits, calling up to the house. Women cover Waits.
Oh.
It was a good record. Something you should look into.
I didn't. You know what? Actually, I do know of that record, and I was going to get it. I was a really big fan of Holly Cole.
Yes.
When she,
I just played her on my show this week.
You did? Oh, I saw her. I saw her at the Magic Bag mm-hmm. years and years ago, and it was one of the best concerts. She was so sexy,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she, and at the time, I mean, now I think she's lost a lot of weight, but she was. She was buxom, you know, and she was hot. Oh, my God, was she amazing.
It's just the way that she delivered stuff.
Yeah, yeah, she's good amazing.
Stuff. I think your fans would love it if you did something like that.
Like
just,
that?
Just a little, you know, sidebar.
I could do that. Yeah. We could do that. Johnny, you want to do Tom Waits? Johnny kind of looks like Tom Waits. Johnny's my partner. He's
in the room. He's not on camera, but he's
not on the camera, but he's my my baby daddy, my partner, my guitar player. Yeah. But you look like Tom Waits.
Maybe that's why he's your partner. Maybe that's it. What you didn't hear is he said he wasn't sure if that was a compliment or not. I've got headphones on. I can still hear it.
I think Tom Waits is very sexy.
There you go. Well, life also besides the covers has been dealing you a pile of crap. Broken wrists. Let's see. You've been sick an awful lot because we've tried to set this up.
It's funny because during the pandemic, I wasn't sick at all. I mean,
not like you have been.
Yeah, not like I have been. But that was because everybody was staying inside. When I get back out into the world and people are coughing in your face and I'm sitting in a small room with clients and they're breathing on me. And yeah, I was sick all the time.
So what are we going to do to make this year a better year? Because the last couple have not been good for you.
I'm working on my immune system.
Okay.
Taking pro and prebiotics. Okay. Drinking my water. Doing all those self-care things. I'm not sleeping well, though. I like to stay up late. I'm trying not to bite my nails. I'm a terrible, terrible nail biter.
It's not going to make you unhealthy.
Oh, no, it does now. I used to say at least it's better than smoking. But with the superbugs and everything in the world, that's how you get sick.
Well, yeah, yes.
Yeah, put your fingers in your mouth. So yeah. I'm trying not to do that. But it's very hard when, you know.
It's a habitual thing.
My entire life. And it's, you know, what kept me calm, you know. So, and then, you know, there was a time because, you know, I grew my nails out, which, by the way, is a hard way to play guitar if you're not used to that. And so that was irritating. And
unless you use them for your.
Yeah, but I don't. But it was like, I looked down at my hands. I'm like, these aren't my hands. These are like lady hands, you know. And then like I would stab myself all the time, you know. My joke was that like I would, every time I tried to pull my underwear out of my butt, you know, I'd stab myself.
Ow.
And then I realized I had no idea how much I do that.
Until
I grew my nails out.
Yeah. Wow. Good piece of information that has probably never been
shared. Little FYI for everybody.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Keeping it real.
Yes. my last thing is just something, I don't know how long it's been on your website, but I'd never noticed it, that you have a quote from Berkeley Breathed on your website.
Yeah.
How in the world does somebody from Michigan who...
He heard me on Prairie Home Companion and contacted me.
He contacted you, okay.
Yeah, and he actually wanted me, he was in the process of making a, he was going to make a record. Or not a record, what am I saying? A movie. He was going to do a movie.
A Bloom County movie?
Yeah, starring or about, you know, the penguin guy. And
Opus,
yeah.
Opus.
And he wanted me to do the music.
Wow.
But it never
materialized.
Huh. Yeah. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, would have been a career boost for sure.
Yeah.
Berkeley, if you're watching, revive that idea. Help all my Michigan music scene people make their living doing what they love doing, and something that brings me a lot of joy too. And new records are coming out. We're going to review the release dates. April 26th, Ghost Light and Hamtramck. Is that the first time the physical record will be available?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then just a couple weeks later, Trinity House in Livonia, May 11th. And then what will be different about those shows versus the show happening at the Ark in late November?
Well, the Ark is probably going to have a few more people on it. Like one of the musicians who's playing a lot of like Hammond B3 is Mike Lynch.
Yeah.
And he's very busy. And so
he's good.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yes. I mean, yeah, he played on the Willie Nelson 80th anniversary show.
Thanks,
and everything.
Dominic.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. But he's very busy. And so, and so is the Ark. The Ark books a year in advance almost. So I was just trying to find a date. And so I finally get Mike Lynch. So Mike Lynch will be there.
Excellent.
And so it'll be a few more people.
And information about these shows and how to find the record once it's out is at?
www.joserrapare.com. J-O-S-E-R-R-A. P-E-R-E.
And I will put that in the links below the title of this podcast, both audio and video. So you can just click on that and go there and find the record at the shows or buy it later. Will you make it for sale online as well?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be on Bandcamp.
Very good.
I'm trying to, I'm going to do a couple of early releases for a couple of songs, okay. singles yeah. in the next.
Tease.
Yeah, in the next couple weeks. So.
Very good. Well, what would you like to close with?
Why don't I do, I did this one on your.
It's a beautiful song, and it makes sense
yeah.
to do it this way. Okay. I can't do the Michelle Held vocal parts for you, though. I'm not a
Are
good
you
singer.
Sure?
I'm not a good singer. There's a reason I do what I do.
Okay, this is the last song on the last record. So, and Dave Roof, who's my engineer and who helped me with some of the production and stuff like that, and mixing and mastering, he's the genius. He said, "Don't put this song as your last song. This is your best song," or what? Where he thinks, and I'm like, "But it sums up the record," and I still listen to the whole record. I don't listen to, you know, I'm thinking of an album, you know, so. But anyway, here we go. It's called Life and All. I love within the loneliness, the doubt and fear, and I love around the pettiness that we often mirror. And I love beyond one's justice of a right and wrong. And I love between a hymn and a victory song. I love in spite the promises put upon the shelf. And I love the deep forgiveness that I give unto myself. I even love your hurtful words, though in truth I can't recall, 'cause it's all so deeply beautiful, life and all. One can't resist the ecstasy we all are sure to fall, 'cause it's all so deeply beautiful, life and all. It's all so beautiful. It's all so beautiful. It's all so deeply beautiful, life and all. Love the pure attraction of insatiable lust, and I love the deep communion of our delicate trust, and I love the mad destruction before resurrection's grace, and the equalizing destiny we all must someday face. May every moment we recall light to guide our way, and know where time is helping sort the infinite display, and return to play our scenes in this splendid cabaret, and know the fragile beauty of an ordinary day. One can't resist the ecstasy we all are sure to fall, 'cause it's all so deeply beautiful, life and all. It's all so beautiful. It's all so beautiful. It's all so deeply beautiful, life and all. It's
it's all so beautiful. It's all so beautiful. It's all so deeply beautiful. Life and all. It's all so deeply beautiful. Life and all.
David Ruff is not wrong. I do love that song. And I don't know. I mean, you're telling me you kind of get visions in your head that this is going to be more of a rock song, whatever. I was getting visions in my head of the audience singing along.
I try to get them to do that.
I mean, I haven't seen you do that live other than at the Trinity House show, but that's, I hear it in my head. I hear the whole room going, the harmony part there. So thank you for doing that. And it reminded me that I accidentally skipped one of the lines in my questions here, and you touched on it. I'm like, oh, I was supposed to ask the who, what, where, when about the recording. So
before we
wrap this up, tell me about the who is on it and where he did it and all the things.
So I recorded with Dave Ruff at Rooftop Recordings in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Dave is great, and he is my co-producer. I mostly produced it, but he really helped a lot and helped me find things. And he played on a lot of different instruments. He plays everything. But he plays mostly bass on the record, and then he plays guitar on a few things, and he plays piano on a song, and he plays glockenspiel on a song.
Thank God. I mean, there has not been enough glockenspiel.
There is not enough glockenspiel. Yes, exactly. Yeah. In his Lederhosen.
Yeah. This I want to see. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's Dave, and then there's Stuart Tucker, my drummer for many, 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 many years. I love Stu. Who's coming to Easter dinner, by the way, Johnny, just to let you know.
Now everybody knows.
Stuart's my adopted brother. We had, like I mentioned, Mike Lynch on accordion and organs and pump organ and, you know, doing his Mike Lynchness. I have Via Mardo doing musical saw and theremin on a song.
Wow.
She's quite amazing.
Also not enough theremin lately.
No. She just went on tour with Roger Waters from Pink Floyd.
What?
Yeah, I know. Go girl.
Wow.
She's amazing. I love her. Let me see. And yes, and we got Joel Jackson playing pedal steel guitar. Joel's in my La Fonda's band, the Western Swingy Band. And yeah, we have Walter Prettyman who's playing violin. We have Sarah Gibson, who's playing cello.
And is a fan of my podcast. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. And then I have a number of backup singers. So I have Shannon Lee and Michelle Held are singing on a song backup. They're doing a lot of oohs. My main backup singer is probably Sophia Hanifi.
Okay.
And also Dave Keeney. Didn't mention Dave Keeney, her husband, plays a lot of electric guitar on my record. And then I have my Stella girls, my band Stella. I have Juliana Wilson and Jen Siggett on a few songs.
Excellent.
So is that everybody?
That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
How much time did it take to put this together? 2 years?
A couple of years. Yeah, probably 2.5 years. I mean, also Dave is very busy. Yeah. So I just kind of went in when I had the money and he was available, and yeah, it was a couple of years.
Well, I look forward to hearing it. I know there was a Kickstarter or some sort of campaign, so I will be eventually getting one of the physical copies.
Yes, and not that you wouldn't have anyway.
But well, I
yes.
know, but I look forward to hearing that, and I wish you good luck with this release. I know you spent a lot of time and money and effort on it, so
yes, I hope
that it does well, and I really appreciate that we finally found a way to make this work.
Me too. Thank you.
Thanks to Grove Studios for giving me a home to do this in, no matter what happens. They may have moved me down the hall, but I'm still able to do what I need to do to make sure that I can give voice to those who I believe deserve more attention. And that's really the point of this podcast, is for people to discover artists. I have one guy who says, I only listen to him when I know the artist. I'm like, you're missing the point then. Because if I bring in a Kieran Daniel and you don't know him, I want you to hear him. So that's...
Yeah. Well, some of the best artists I know out there aren't well known, because they have other lives. Like, it's really hard to do this for a living still have a family.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of amazing artists aren't out there touring and doing stuff.
No. So Grove Studios, if you're a musician, swing by their website, check it out, see the very inexpensive rates they have, especially pre-noon. It's cheaper. You can find your practice space here, get out of the garage, get into the studio. Thanks for checking out the podcast. If you're thinking, wow, he never really mentions any ads. That's kind of true, isn't it? If you want to help me continue doing this and help me be able to afford to hire somebody, which I do occasionally, there is a Patreon page that you can support as well. $3, $5, $10 levels. I give you a little something back in return, but you can find that at johnbomarito.com. It's the first thing on the Acoustic Alternatives tab that says Patreon. So follow me there. I'm sure you probably, if you don't have one of those, will eventually, if you can find your time to make it's the finding the giving them something to make it worth their while that was hard for me.
Your
time schedule is crazy.
I got so much going on.
All right. Anyway, we're done. Okay. Thanks for being here, and we'll have more. I don't have any booked yet, but there's more to come. I'm not done yet. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.